So today we'll start the sixth chapter of sixth canto. So as I told you yesterday, so today I started the sixth canto here in GV also. So morning classes. So we have to go at three chapters in 1.5 hours. That is the pace. So I started the first chapter and I understood how much I have been pampered by, you know, mostly your batch actually. Because there is no one who is supervising and no one who is above us. So literally I was foaming in my mouth and I barely managed to complete one chapter today. And Gaurang Prabhu, Sanat Kumar Prabhu, everyone was sitting. And it was such an embarrassing thing actually. So I have to, but I have been told, you know, you take one chapter or two chapter, but I have been given 7 days to complete whole sixth canto and I have to complete whatever it is. So it was, I have to now plan and re-strategize because I had absolutely no idea. I thought I could, but still today I planned for only 1.5 chapters today actually. But still, by the time I completed half a chapter, it was already 1 hour 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, I rushed through the second half of the chapter, and then I didn't have any time for the second canto, second chapter, first half. But anyway, I'm slowly getting used to a fast pace. So maybe after 7 days, you will see the influence of those classes in your classes also. Maybe we may start rushing a little more fast.
So you take from the PPT only, Prabhuji?
I take from the PPT only. But of course, I sort of, I don't have all the, if for every verse commentary I don't keep, only the essential things I keep, and rest I only speak and move ahead like that. Today only I have started, then over a period of time I think I will also evolve and I'll understand where to spend some time, where to just rush like that. But today was very difficult. It was very embarrassing. I was literally foaming in my mouth, literally. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so we will start discussing. So the sixth chapter talks about the progeny of the daughters of Daksha, because Daksha twice he projected sons en masse, 10,000 in the first attempt and 1,000 in the second attempt. And he realized that, third attempt, I don't want to burn myself again. Narada Muni doesn't seem like he has learned his lesson. So what if I beget daughters? What will Narada Muni do? So he decided to beget daughters only, henceforth. So, and of course, Narada Muni, Daksha was also mentioned in the previous chapter as Duhitru Vatsala. He was very affectionately disposed towards his daughters, it is mentioned. So that is because he never begot any more sons. Okay, we'll start. So Shukadeva Goswami tells about the dynasty of the chapter. Start. श्रीशुक उवाच तत प्राचेत सोऽसिज्ञाम् अनुनीत स्वयम्भुव षष्टिम् सञ्जनयामासः दुहितृपितृवत्सलाः. At the request of Lord Brahma, Prajapati Daksha begot in the womb of his wife Asikni 60 daughters who were very affectionate towards their father. So 60 daughters he begot. Srila Vishnachakada writes, sixth chapter describes the descendants of Daksha, Daksha's daughters, amongst whom Tvashta was born to Aditi. So that's how the whole episode moves on to Tvashta. like that. Though Daksha became disgusted with household life, on the order of Brahma, he again took up household life. Thinking that Narada would not give up his hostility and worrying that again his sons would disappear, he bore daughters only. Asiknyam means in his wife Asikni. Okay. Any comments? Yeah, what I'll do is I'll keep on moving because this is genealogical table only we are going to discuss. So I'm not going to pause and ask if there is any question or comment. If you have, you unmute yourself and stop me in the middle and then we will discuss. Is that okay?
Yes, please.
Okay. Dashadharmaya kaya da dvishat trinava chendave bhutangira krishashvebhyo dvedve tarkshaya cha paraha. He gave 10 daughters in charity to Yamaraj, 13 to Kashyapa, first 12, and then one more. Okay, then 27 to the moon god, and 2 each to Angira, Krishashva, and Bhuta. The other 4 daughters were also given to Kashyapa. Mm-hmm. So that becomes 10 for Yamaraj, 10 plus 13, 23. And 23 plus 27 to moon god, that is 50. And 2 each to Angira, Krishashva and Bhuta, that is 56. And again 4 to Kashyapa, that is 60. So in this way, he had 60 daughters, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 60 daughters, but 6 son-in-laws. Like that. He gave 12 daughters to Kashyapa. This number should actually be 13. He gave 27 daughters to the moon god and 2 each to Bhuta, Angira and Krishashva. The remaining daughters were also given to Kashyapa. Namadeyani amusham tvam sapatnyam cha meshrunu yasam prasuti prashavair loka apuritastrayah. Now please hear from me the names of all these daughters and their descendants who filled the 3 worlds. Bhanur lamba kakudyamir vishwa sadhyamarutpati vasur muhurta sankalpa dharma patnya sutan shrunu. Yamaraj's wives were named Bhanu lamba kakudyami vishwa sadhyamarutpati vasu muhurta sankalpa. Now hear the names of their sons. Bhanostu Deva Rishabha Indrasenas Tatondrapa Vidyota Asi Lambayas Tatascas Tanayit Navaha. O King, a son named Deva Rishabha was born from the womb of Bhanu, and from him came a son named Indrasena. From the womb of Lamba came a son named Vidyota, who generated all the clouds. Kakudaha Sankatastasya Kikatastanayo Yataha Bhuvo Durgani Yameyah Swargo Nandistato Bhavat. From the womb of Kakud came the son named Sankata, whose son was named Kikata. From Kikata came the devatas named Durgas. From Yami came the son named Swarga, whose son was named Nandi. Purport. From Kikata came many Durgas who are devatas representing Durga. Oh, by the way, we have completed till now 6 verses. First 6 verses, is there a purport?
Yes, Prabhuji, for the first verse only there is a purport.
Okay, you can read.
After the incidents concerning the loss of his many sons, Daksha repented his misunderstanding with Narad Muni. Lord Brahma then saw Daksha and instructed him to beget children again. This time, Daksha was very cautious to beget female children instead of male children, so that Narad Muni would not disturb them by urging them to accept the renounced order. Females are not meant for the renounced order of life. They should be faithful to their good husbands. For if a husband is competent for liberation, his wife will also achieve liberation with him. As stated in the Shastra, the results of a husband's pious activities are shared by his wife. Therefore, a woman's duty is to be very chaste and faithful to her husband. Then without separate endeavor, she will share in all the profit the husband earns.
Is there any further purport?
No, Prabhuji.
As of now?
No.
Vishve devastu vishvaya aprajamstan prachakshate sadhyoganascha sadhyaya artha siddhistu tatsutaha. The sons of Vishwa were the Vishwadevas who had no progeny. From the womb of Sadhya came the Sadhyas who had a son named Artha Siddhi. The next purport is which verse number?
Just Prabhuji, after 11, 12 only it is there. Till 11th, 12th it is not there. 13th
till 11th, 12th it's not there.
13th also not there.
I will pause after 12 there.
No, Prabhuji, 18th has a purport directly, 18th.
Directly 18th. Huh? So then I will pause at 18th.
Okay.
Marutvamscha jayantascha marutvatya babhuvatuhu. Jayanto Vasudevamsha Upendra Iyam Viduhu. The two sons who took birth from the womb of Marutvati were Marutvan and Jayanta. Jayanta, who is an expansion of Lord Vasudev, is known as Upendra. Aditi's son was also known as Upendra. Mahurtika Devagana Muhurtayascha Jagnire Yevai Falam Prayachanti Bhutanam Swasvakalajam. The devatas named the Muhurtikas took birth from the womb of Muhurta. They deliver the results of actions to the living entities at the proper time. Sankalpayastu sankalpa kama sankalpa jasprata vasavoshtau vasoputrastesham namani meshrunu drona prano druvor kognir dosho vastur vibhavasuhu drona syabhimate patnya harsha shoka bayadayaha. The son of Sankalpa was known as Sankalpa. Sankalpa was known as Sankalpa, from whom Kama was born. The sons of Vasu were known as the eight Vasus. Just hear their names from me. Drona, Prana, Dhruva, Arka, Agni, Dosha, Vastu, Vibhavasu. From Abhimati, the wife of the Vasu named Drona, were generated the sons named Harsha, Shoka, Bhaya and others. Pranasyorjasvati bharya saha ayupurojavaha dhruvasya bharya daranir asuta vividapuraha. Urjasvati, the wife of Prana, gave birth to three sons named Saha, Ayuhu and Purojava. From the wife of Dhruva known as Dharani came various cities. Arkasya vasana bharya putras tarshadaya smataha Agner Bharya Vasordhara Putra Dravina Kadayaha. From the womb of Vasana, the wife of Arka, came many sons headed by Tarsha. Dhara, the wife of Vasu, named Agni, gave birth to many sons headed by Dravinaka. Skandas Chakritika Putro Ye Vishakadayastataha Doshasya Sharvari Putraha Shishumaro Harekala. From Kritika, another wife of Agni, came the son named Skanda or Kartikeya, whose sons were headed by Vishakha. From the womb of Sharvari, the wife of the Vasu named Dosha, came the son named Shishumar, who was an expansion of the Supreme Lord. Kritika was another wife of Agni. Vasto Rangirasi Putro Vishwakarma Kriti Patihi Tato Manushakshobod Vishve Sadhya Mano Sutaha. From Angirasi, the wife of Vasu named Vastu, was born the great architect Vishwakarma. Vishwakarma became the husband of Akriti, from whom Chakshusha Manu was born. The sons of Manu were known as the Vishwadevas and the Sadhyas. Vishwakarma was the husband of Akriti, who gave birth to Chakshusha Manu. Though Chakshusha was born in Dhruva's lineage, he was also born in the lineage like Daksha and Vasishta, which means he died and took birth. It looks like that's what, while I was reading, I was wondering how come, because already Chakshusha Manantra had started. I don't know, these are like little confusing things, so don't ask me. I don't know what exactly is it. because already this is Chakshusha Manvantara, which is happening already when Daksha is progenating. But still it is mentioned that the Chakshusha Manu was born. Yeah, I have no idea what is the exact understanding. Vivavasor Asutosha Vyushtam Rochishamatap Panchayamota Bhutani Yena Jagrati Karmasu. Usha, the wife of Vibhavasu, gave birth to three sons, Vyushta, Rochisha, and Atapa. From Atapa came Panchayama, the span of day, who awakens all living entities to material activities. From Atapa was born Panchayama. There are five yamas in a day, which includes dawn and dusk. That leaves night with three yamas. So, generally this...
These are personalities only, na? They are like...
They are presiding deities of these various aspects of time.
So the previous verses where Harsha Shoka Bhai is mentioned, so are they representative of something or are they just names of them?
Yeah, you can say they are like something like representative deities only of those particular emotions like that.
Okay.
And here Yama. And all those are like, so that is why he is actually, their names are Yamas, Panchayama. So Panchayama is generally, five Yamas are there during summer. Slowly when we go towards winter, the five becomes little less, and then during winter, which are the days when you have the shortest day? 22nd
December.
So 22nd December, na? 22nd December, around that time, it would be four yamas day, four yamas night, like that. And then gradually towards, from 22nd December to what? June 21st? Which?
21st
June. 21st June, right?
Yes.
So 21st June, it will increase to actually like five yamas during the day and three yamas during night. One yama is about 3 hours. So, Ashtayama. One Yama, one Prahara is same thing. So, one Yama is 3 hours. So, eight Yamas in one day, in one 24 hours. So, that is 8 threes are 24. So, like that. Sarupa Suta Bhutasya Bharya Rudramscha Kotishah Raivato Jo Bhavo Bhimo Vama Ugro Vrusha Kapihi Ajay Kapat Ahirbradno Ahurupo Mahaniti Rudrasya Parshadas Chanye Ghora Preta Vinayakaha. Sarupa, the wife of Bhuta, gave birth to 10 million Rudras, of whom the 11 principal Rudras were Raivata, Aja, Bha, Bhima, Vama, Ugra, Vrishakapi, Ajaikapat, Ahirbadna, Bahurupa, and Mahan. Their fearful associates, Pretas and Vinayakas, were born from the other wife of Bhuta. Bhuta had two wives, Daksha's daughters. From Sarupa came the Rudras headed by the 11 Rudras from Raivata to Mahan. From the other wife came the other associates of Rudra. Is there a purport?
Yes. Purport is there. Prajan, question. I'll read the purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that Bhuta had two wives. One of them, Sarupa, gave birth to the 11 Rudras, and the other wife gave birth to the associates of the Rudras known as ghosts and hobgoblins. So,
okay.
So, Prabhuji, this is happening in Chakshusha Manvantara, right?
Yeah.
So, in the previous manner to that, when like Brahma, he was, like in the third canto, we have the secondary creation wherein Brahma is creating.
Rudras coming from Brahma, right?
Rudras coming, yeah. So, he sends them for tapascharya.
Yeah.
And so, they are different.
Yeah. No, I am not very sure. It could be like primarily they are created by Brahma and secondarily by these Prajapatis, or it could happen that in different Manvantaras it happens in a different way, or probably on the on the first Manvantara during the day of Brahma, Brahma creates the Rudras, but probably in subsequent Manvantaras, Brahma deputes it to other Prajapatis. So it could be something like that, but it is not explicitly mentioned, because that we saw was in
Swayambhu.
And on the first day of Brahma, or not the first day of Brahma, the Swayambhu Manvantara, the first Manvantara, he did create. But probably certain tasks are subsequently deputed to some other Prajapatis. Could be. I am not telling it for sure. But this is what probably, when you are teaching someone how to do something, the first time you do it and show, and subsequently they take over. Maybe I am just guessing. I don't know. But that's one of the possibilities. I can't think of any other possibility. So this is one possibility. I don't know for sure. Okay. So shall we continue?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Hari Bol. Okay. Next is next purport is when?
Prabhuji, just a minute.
Yeah. You check and tell me.
24 to 26. Prabhuji, I'll tell you whenever it comes.
Okay. When it comes, you stop me. Okay. When you unmute yourself only, I will understand that something is coming up. Prajapate rangirasaha swada patni pitran ata ataivangirasam vedam putratve chakarot sati. The Prajapati Angira had two wives named Swadha and Sati. The wife named Swadha accepted all the pitrus as her sons, and Sati accepted Atharva Angirasa Veda as her son. Angirasa had two wives named Swadha and Sati. Swadha gave birth to the Pitrus. Krishashvorchishi Baryayam Dhumaketum Ajijanat Dishnayam Vedashiro Devalam Vayanam Manum. Krishashva had two wives named Archish and Dishana. In the wife named Archish, he begot Dhumaketu, and in Dishana, he begot four sons named Vedashira, Devala, Vayuna, and Manu. Tarkshasya vinata kadruhu patangi yamini ticha patangi asuta patagan yamini shalabhanata suparnasuta gurdam sakshad yagnesha vahanam suryasutam anurumcha kadrur nagan anekashaha. Kashyapa, who is also named Tarkshya, had four wives, Vinata, Kadru, Patangi, and Yamini. So these were the later four wives which are offered to Kashyapa. Patangi gave birth to many kinds of birds, and Yamini gave birth to locusts. Vinata gave birth to Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, and Anuru or Aruna, the chariot driver of the sun god. Kadru gave birth to different varieties of serpents. My God, I can't imagine what they must be feeling when they are giving birth to such kind of living entities. But of course,
well, they are humans only, na? They are humans, but they are giving so some special like potency.
Yeah. Correct. Kritika adini nakshatran indo patnyastu bharata dakshashapat sonya patyas tasu yakshmagraharditah. O Maharaj Parikshit, the 27 constellations such as Kritika were all wives of the moon god. However, because Prajapati Daksha had cursed him to suffer from a disease causing gradual destruction, the moon god could not beget children in any of his wives. Why was he cursed? Because the moon god shows favor to Rohini constellation and ignored the others. Daksha became angry and cursed him to suffer from consumption, which wastes the body away. Thus, he did not bear children in them. So, if you remember, the very first verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Akhila Rasamrita Murtihi Prashramara Ruchiruddha Taraka Pa Kalita Shama Lalito Radha Preyan Vidur Jayati. So, I mean, I don't know. I won't be surprised if you don't remember also. It has been a long time. So that's the very first verse of Bhaktirasama Sindhu 1.1.1. So the Vastu Nirdesh Shloka. So in that shloka, the secondary meaning that is described. That is Rohini constellation. Okay, Vishakha. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, fine. So I got confused between Rohini and Vishakha. Fine. Okay. Is there a purport?
Yes. Because the moon god was very much attached to Rohini, he neglected all his other wives. Therefore, seeing the bereavement of these daughters, Prajapati Daksha became angry and cursed him.
Okay. Punaprasadya tamsomaha kala lebe kshaye ditaha shrunu namani lokanam matrinam shankarani cha atakashyapa patninam yat prasutam idam jagat aditir ditir danukkashta arishta surasa ila munik krodavashatamra surabhi sharamatimi timer yado gana asan shvapada saramasutaha. Thereafter, the king of the moon pacified Prajapati Daksha and thus regained the portions of light he had lost during his decease. Nevertheless, he could not beget children. The moon loses his shining power during the dark fortnight, and in the bright fortnight it is manifest again. O King Parikshit, now please hear from me the names of Kashyapa's wives, mothers of the worlds, from whose wombs the population of the entire universe has come. They are Aditi, Diti, Danu, Kashta, Arishta, Surasa, Ila, Muni, Krodashva, Tamra, Surabhi, Sarama, and Timi. From the womb of Timi, all the aquatics took birth, and from the womb of Sarama, the ferocious animals like tigers and lions took birth. Shri Vishnu Jagadapu commentary. The moon god regained portions of his light but could not bear children. These portions of light are whittled away during the waning phase of the moon, during Krishna Paksha. Another version has Kshayaidita. After waning, the phases of the moon increase. The descendants of Kashyapa's 13 wives are now described taking the easier ones first in the manner of the needle and the cauldron. Shuchi, Shuchi, Kataha, Nyaya, which means the easy to describe are first done and the more difficult to describe are later done, like that. Like if you have a question paper, first you write the easier questions first so that you gain confidence so that you can answer the more difficult ones later, like that. I don't know. Yeah, is there a purport?
No, Prabhuji, purport is not there till text number 40, 41 at least. It is not there.
Okay.
The entire chapter, it is not there now.
Chapter. Okay, fine. But you had a question or something?
Previously, Kashyapa's 4 wives are given, na? So they are also 17 wives, right? These are 13 and 4 that Vinita.
13 plus 4, na?
Yeah.
The 4 are the later 4 that was mentioned.
Yeah.
13 were mentioned initially. Yeah. Okay. Surabir Mahishogavo Yechanye Dvishafan Rupa Amraya. Yena Gridradya Munir Apsarasam Ganaha. O King, from the womb of Surabhi, the buffalo, cow, and other animals with cloven hooves took birth. From the womb of Tamra, the eagles, vultures, and other large birds of prey took birth. And from the womb of Muni, the Apsaras took birth. Dandashukada Yasarpa Rajan Krodavashatmajaha. Ilaya Buruha Sarve Yatu Dhanascha Saurasaha. The sons born of Krodavasha, were the serpents known as Dandashuka, as well as other snakes. All the other creepers and trees were born from the womb of Ila. The Rakshasas were born from the womb of Surasa. Arishtayastu Gandharva Kashtaya Dvishafetaraha Suta Danor Ekashashtis Tesham Pradhanikan Shrunu Vimurda Shambaro Rishto Hayagrivo Vibhavasuhu Ayomukashankushiraha Swarbhanu Kapilorunaha Puloma Vrishaparvacha Ekachakronuttapanaha Dhumrakesho Virupaksho Viprachistischa Durjayah. The Gandharvas were born from the womb of Arishta, and the animals whose hooves are not split, such as the horse, were born from the womb of Kashta. O king, from the womb of Danu came the 61 sons, of whom these 18 were very important, the Danavas, of the Danavas. Vimurda, Shambara, Arishta, Hayagriva, Vibhavasu, Ayomukha, Shankushira, Swarbhanu, Kapila, Aruna, Puloma, Vrishaparva, Ekachakra, Anutapana, Dhumrakesha, Virupaksha, Viprachitti and Durjaya. Swarbhanoho Suprabham Kanyam Vaha Namuchikila Vrishaparvanastu Sarmishtam Yayatirnahusho Bali. The daughter of Swarbhanu, the son of Danu, named Suprabha, was married by Namuchi. The daughter of Vrishaparva, the son of Danu, named Sharmishta, was given to the powerful king Yayati, the son of Nahusha.
Hare Krishna.
Swanarasutayascha tatashchatashras charu darshanah upadanavi hayashira puloma kalata upadanavim hiranyaksha kratur hayashiram drupa pulomam kalakam chadve vaishvanarasute tukah upayemeta bhagavan kashyapo brahmachoditah puloma Kalakeyascha Danava Yuddhashalinaha Tayo Shashti Sahasrani Yajnagnam Ste Pitupita Jagana Swargato Rajan Eka Indra Priyankaraha. Vaishwanara, the son of Danu, had four beautiful daughters named Upadana, Hayashira, Puloma, and Kalaka. Hiranyaksha married Upadanavi, and Kratu married Hayashira. Thereafter, at the request of Lord Brahma, Prajapati Kashyapa married Puloma and Kalaka, the other two daughters of Vaishvanara. From the wombs of these two wives of Kashyapa came 60,000 sons headed by the Nivata Kavachas, who are known as the Pulomas and the Kalakeyas, expert at fighting and stopping sacrifices. Your grandfather Arjuna, when he went to the heavenly planets, killed these Danavas to please Indra. Vaishvanara was another son of Danu. Because he was ordered by Brahma, Kashyapa married Vaishvanara's daughters, who were his granddaughters. Through them, he bore 60,000 Nivata Kavachas. Arjuna, your grandfather killed them when he went to Swarga. Viprachitti simmikayam shatam chaikam ajijanat Rahu Jeshtam Ketu Shatam Grahatvam Ya Upagataha. In his wife Simmika, Viprachitti, the son of Danu, begot 101 sons, of whom the eldest is Rahu and the others are the 100 Ketus. All of them attain positions as planets. There are 100 Ketu planets. Okay. Atata Shruya Tanvamsho Yodite Anupurvashah यत्र नारायणो देव स्वांशेनावतरद् विभुः विवस्वानर्यमापूषा त्वष्टात सविता भगः धाता विदाता वरुणो मित्रशत्रु उरुक्रमः. Now please hear me as I describe the descendants of Aditi in chronological order. Among them, Narayana appears in expansion. The names of the sons of Aditi are as follows: Vivaswan, Aryama, Pusha, Twashta, Savita, Bhaga, Dhata, Varuna, Mitra, Shatru and Urukrama. Vivasvatah Shraddadevam Samgyasu Yatatvaimanum Mitunam cha Mahabhaga Yamam Devam Yamim Tata Saiva Bhutvata Vadava Na Satyaushushu Vebhuvi. Samgya, the wife of Vivaswan, the sun god, gave birth to the Manu named Shraddadeva. And the same fortunate wife also gave birth to the twins Yamaraj and the river Yamuna, which is Yami. Then Yami, while wandering on the earth in the form of a mare. Mare is a female horse. Mare. What is a mare? Anyone knows? Ashray Gopal, who do you know what is a mare?
A female or donkey, Prudy?
It's a female donkey. Acha. Okay.
Sure.
I was close. Then Yami, while wandering on the earth in the form of a mare, gave birth to the Ashwini Kumaras. Oh, the Ashwini Kumaras are Yamuna's son. Chaya Shanaischaram Lebe Savarnim Cha Manustataha Kanyam Cha Tapatim Yavai Vavre Samvaranam Patim. Chaya, another wife of the sun god, begot two sons named Shanaishchara, this Shani, Saturn, and Savarani Manu, and one daughter Tapati, who married Samvarana. Aryamno Matrikapatni Tayos Charshanayasutaha Yatravai Manushi Jatir Brahmana Chopakalpita. From the womb of Matrika, the wife of Aryama, were born many learned scholars. Among them, Lord Brahma created the human species, which are endowed with an aptitude for self-examination. So, Manushi Jati means, which means those who are endowed with an aptitude for self-examination. Ultimately, that capacity is there in human beings. That is why they are called as Manushyas. Like that. From the two, Aryaman and Matrika, were born sons who knew what to do and what not to do. Charshanayaha. Okay. Among some of them who were interested in pursuing spiritual life, Brahma produced the human race. Shruti says, Purushatve Chavistaram Atma. Search for Atma is manifested more in the human form, says Aitareya Aranyaka. Okay. Pushanapatyah Pishtado Bhagnadanto Bhavatpura Yosau Dakshaya Kupitam Jahasa Vivritad Vijaha. Pusha had no sons. Pusha laughed at Shiva, who was angry and showed his teeth. Twashtur daityatma jabarya rachana nama kanyaka sanniveshastayor jagnye vishwarupascha viryavan. Rachana, the daughter of the daityas, became the wife of Prajapati Twashta. He begot in her womb two very powerful sons named Sannivesha and Vishwarupa. Tam vavrire suragana swasriyam dvishatamapi vimatena parityakta Guru Nangirasena Yat. Although Vishwarup was the son of the daughter Rachana of their eternal enemies, the Daityas, the Devatas accepted him as their priest in accordance with the order of Brahma when they were abandoned by their spiritual master Brihaspati, whom they had disrespected. So this 45th verse is the link to the next chapter actually. Under what circumstances, how did the Devatas disrespect Brihaspati, why, and what happened after that? That is going to start. That will be the link to the next chapter. So when the Devatas had been rejected by their guru whom they disrespected, because there was no other alternative, they accepted Vishwarup, the son of a daughter of Daityas, as their priest. Like that. So that brings us to the end of this chapter. Any quick comments, questions? Okay. Okay, see, already today morning's influence has already started. This is probably some world record. In about 40 minutes, we completed one chapter. So, okay, that gives me some confidence. Maybe I can do it in future also. Later, let's see. Okay, so shall we start the next chapter? Hi. We still have about 25 minutes time. Okay, so let's start the seventh chapter. So this is Indra offends his spiritual master Brihaspati.
I have a question. Prabhuji?
Yes, yes.
I have a question like...
Yes, Muktagesh Prabhu. In this chapter, whatever question you ask, I cannot answer.
But this...
Okay, but still you can ask. Please ask.
Little bit too exhaustive detail about the project. Means like, is there any what you call very important for devotees to know whose father is who or something?
No, not necessarily. But then this is describing the genealogical line of either very exalted devotees or it is also discussing a very exalted genealogical line in which an expansion of the Supreme Lord appeared. So therefore it is purifying. And of course the original question asked by Parikshit Maharaj, sorry, by Vidura to Maitreya was, please explain the genealogical line. So any line in which the Supreme Lord or his pure devotees appeared, that genealogy, you know, if we hear, it is purifying. If you can remember, if our Kali Yuga memory allows, well and good. But I don't think you have to make extra efforts to memorize the 60 wives of the 60 daughters of Daksha. And, yeah. Not that they are unimportant, but we just have insufficient memory to do all that. And time and memory. If we have, then we should do it. But there are many other things also which are slightly more important. So we do it first, and subsequently if memory is left, then we can memorize these things also. That's what I feel. Yeah.
So... I was just sometimes when we see that many of the shlokas does not speak which we are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Then as soon as that shloka comes, which like you know the glorification of bhakti or something like that, then we become very happy. So can you say that that was the purpose of the previous shlokas, to create eagerness?
I don't know. Maybe only Krishna knows. Yeah, if it creates that kind of eagerness in you, then definitely that must have been one of the purposes, probably. But we should understand that whether I can figure it out or not, Bhagavatam is the...
क्रिएशन मध्ये पण कुठे आहे हरी बोल कृष्ण क्रिएशन मध्ये
लॉजिकल कनेक्टिव्हिटी फ्रॉम वन पास्ट टाइम टू अनदर पास्ट टाइम ऑल्सो विच यु नो पास्ट टाइम ए अँड पास्ट टाइम बी मे बोथ बी ग्लोरिफाईंग एदर भक्ती भगवान और भक्त बट इन ऑर्डर टू लॉजिकली कनेक्ट पास्ट टाइम ए अँड पास्ट टाइम बी मे बी सर्टन generations have to be discussed, and in that particular generation this devotee comes, so his pastime or can be discussed, for it could be for that purpose also. So now you see this whole genealogical line has been discussed, and in that genealogical line comes this Tvashta, whose son is Vishwarup, and through that now the deliverance of Indra, appearance of Vritrasur, glorification of Chitraketu Maharaj. I mean, the next, almost 10 chapters are like, starting from this 7th chapter onwards, you know, Indra is going to offend Brihaspati, then Brihaspati will leave, then they will approach Brahmaji, Brahmaji will say, go and accept Vishwarup as your this thing. They will accept Vishwarup, then Vishwarup will perform this thing in which he will also offer oblations to the Danavas. So from then he will be killed eventually, then Tvashta will perform a sacrifice, Vritrasura will come, then the whole Vritrasura episode will start, and then glorification of Vritrasura, how he dies, then how from that till Parikshit Maharaj will feel, kaise matlab this Vritrasura is an asura, how did he show such qualities? And then the episode of Chitraketu, how he perfected his life and eventually he got cursed by Mother Parvati. So almost like 10-11 chapters of pastimes are there, and one chapter of link. How would you link the episode of what did we discuss? Daksha and the episode of Vritrasura. Both are in the same same line, same lineage. So if you little bit describe the daughters of Daksha, in their lineage comes Tvashta, whose son is Vritrasura. Like that. It could be like that. See, I am just discussing various possibilities, but Krishna may have 100 other purposes which he tries to accomplish through such descriptions. We could imagine a few. They could be right or wrong also. But these are few things that comes to my mind. Or as you said, you know, you thought, okay, Bhagavatam should describe glorification of Bhakti, Bhagavan and Bhakta. When is it coming? When is it coming? When is it coming? Like that, maybe to increase your appetite to hear. Could be quite possible. That's what I feel. Anything else anyone would like to add?
Prabhuji, there are many sections in Srimad Bhagavatam which don't give direct description of Bhakti or Bhagavan. Like creation is also there. And then there may be...
Yo, in creation episode, there is lot of glorification of Bhakti actually.
In between, where in some chapters, like, but as you told that 1-2 chapters and then 10 chapters are pastimes of the devotees and the Lord only.
Yeah, correct.
So they are intended towards glorification. That way also we can
see.
Yeah, correct. You can say. Yeah, like that, there could be many reasons. Why exactly? I mean, if the Acharya is revealed, then we can understand. But otherwise, we do understand that this is definitely, in some way or other, in some inconceivable way, purifying me. Punantite vishaya vidushitashayam vrajanti tacharana sarorohantikam. So, these two passes, whether I understand or not, that is getting accomplished. That is the purpose. If we should have that kind of faith. That's all. Okay.
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. So we will continue with the 7th chapter of 6th canto. So this is Indra offends a spiritual master Brihaspati. Okay. So let's continue. Indra fails to respect Brihaspati. This is the first theme. Shri Raja Uvacha Kasya Heto Parityakta Acharyenatmana Suraha Etadachakshva Bhagavan Shishyanam Akramam. Kasya hetoho acharyena atmanah suraha parityakta. For what reason did Brihaspati reject his own students, the devatas? Achakshva, please describe. Etat shishyanam akramam gurau. Huh? Akramam here is offense. What offense did these devatas perform that Brihaspati rejected them? Was it such a serious offense? Can you please tell us about it? So, Krishna Jagadakur says, the 7th chapter describes how the devatas, abandoned by their guru Brihaspati and defeated by the daityas, accepted Vishwarupa as their guru on the advice of Brahma. Why did Brihaspati reject the devatas who were his atmanaha, disciples? Okay. Is there a purport?
Yes, probably. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Tagore comments, Saptame Guru Natyaktai Hridayavairajatya Parajitai Vishwarupa Gurutvena Vrito Brahma Padeshataha. This 7th chapter describes how Brihaspati was offended by the demigods, how he left them, and the demigods were defeated, and how the demigods, following the instructions of Lord Brahma, accepted Vishwarupa as the priest to perform their sacrifice.
Okay. So, see, I am using a phone, and in my phone, the next 8 verses are literally invisible for me. So, next 7 verses, 2 to 8. Can someone read?
Yeah. Shri Badarayanir Uvacha in Vaneshwar. Indrastribhuvaneshwarya matolangita satpata marudbhirvasubhirudrair aditya ripubhirmukha vishve devaisya sadyascha nasatyabhyam parishrita siddhacharana gandharvair munibhir brahmavadibhi vidyadharam surucha kinmare patakurteri Nishevyamano Makavan Suyamanascha Bharata Upagiyamano Lalitam Astha Dhyana
Arshanashita
Pandurena
Patrena Chandramundala Charuna
Yuktaschani Parameshais Chamara Vyajanatipi Virajamana Paulamya Saharadhasanaya Prisham Sayada Paramacharyam Devanamatma Yuschaha Navyananda Sampraptam Pratyutthana Sanadibi Vachaspatim Manivaram Sura Sura Namaskrisam Nochachala Sanat Indra Pashyan Api Sabhagatam.
Okay, I will read the translation. O King, once Indra, being extremely proud because of his great wealth in the three worlds, transgressed the law of Vedic conduct. Seated on his throne, he was surrounded by the Maruts, Vasus, Rudras, Adityas, Rubus, Vishwadevas, Sadhyas, Ashwini Kumaras, while being praised and worshipped by Siddhas, Charanas and Gandharvas, sages who were knowers of Brahman, Vidyadharas, Apsaras, Kinnaras, Patagas and Uragas, with sweet singing. Over Indra's head was a white umbrella, as effulgent as the full moon, fanned by yak-tailed wisps and served with all the paraphernalia of a great king. Indra was sitting with his wife Shachi Devi, who occupied half the throne. He did not welcome the great sage Brihaspati, the best of the sages, the guru of Indra and the devatas, though he was respected by the other devatas and by the demons. When he arrived by their rising and offering a seat, he did not rise from his seat on seeing Brihaspati enter the assembly. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, these verses are connected with the next verse. When Indra did not welcome Brihaspati, Brihaspati left and went to his house. Astanadhyasanashitaha means he was sitting on his throne in the assembly. Sitting with Shachi, who shared half his seat, he was served by the insignia of royalty. The Acharya was Brihaspati. He did not rise, is mentioned twice to make clear his offense. He did not move at all, though seated on his throne. Is there a purport?
12th verse will directly purport.
Okay. Tato nirgatya sahasa kavir angirasa prabhu ayayau swagraham toshnim vidvan shrimada vikriyam. Vidvan Srimada Vikriyam, understanding that Indra's bad conduct had arisen from the pride in his wealth, Angirasa, the great sage Brihaspati, Kavihi, who knew the future, Prabhuhu, and who could quickly allot punishment, Tataha Nirgatya, Tushnim, Ayayau Swagraham. He quickly left the assembly and silently went to his home. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Tataha means from the assembly. Kavihi means that he knew the future. Prabhuhu means that he was capable of giving punishment. Vidwan means he knew the cause of Indra's disrespect. Vidwan. What did he know? He knew why did Indra act in that particular way. Tarhyeva prati buddhyendro guru helanam atmanah garhayamasa sadasi swayam atmanam atmana. Indra, realizing that he had disrespected his guru, guru helanam atmanah pratibuddhya swayam atmanam atmana garhayamasa, he started condemning himself. Sadasi, in the presence of all the members of the assembly, he started condemning himself. Pratibuddhya means that recovering from his intoxication with wealth, he perceived that he had committed offense to Guru. Now Indra is going to lament. That is the next section, 11 to 17. Do we have time? What's the time? Okay, we have 10 minutes.
अहोबत मया साधु कृतं वैदब्रबुद्धिना यन् मयैश्वर्यमत्तेन गुरुः सदसि कात् कृतः. अहोबत मया असाधु कृतं, व्हाट एन इंप्रॉपर डीड आई हैव कमिटेड. दब्रबुद्धिना, बिकॉज ऑफ माय लैक ऑफ इंटेलिजेंस. गुरुः कात् कृतः, I have insulted my guru. Sadasi, when he entered the assembly, yad maya aishwarya mattena, because of my pride in my wealth, what did I do?
Ko gradyet pandito lakshmin tripishtapapaterapi yayaham
आसुरं भावं नीतोद्य विबुधेश्वरः कः पण्डितः गृध्येत् त्रिपिष्टपपतेः लक्ष्मीम् वाट् लर्नड् पर्सन् गृध्येत् टु डिज़ैर् वाट् लर्नड् पर्सन् वुड् डिज़ैर् त्रिपिष्टपपतेः लक्ष्मीम् त्रिपिष्टप इस् हेवन् त्रिपिष्टपपति इस् इन्द्र लक्ष्मीम् मीन्स् द वेल्त् आफ् इन्द्र यया अहं विबुधेश्वरः अद्य आसुरं भावं नीतः दिस् वेल्त् आफ् इन्द्र हेस् मेड् मी इन् टु एन् असुरानौ दम्भोदर्पो विमानश्च क्रोध पारुष्यमेव च अज्ञानं जापिदादस्य पार्थसम्पन्मासुरीम् सो दोस् आर् दि सम्पद् द ट्रेजर् आफ् दि असुरास् अण्ड् इन्द्र वाज् शोयिङ्ग् दट् यु नो ऐ हेव् दिस् treasures dambo darpo abhimana krodha parushyam eva cha he was thinking so he was criticizing why should I have this wealth because of this wealth I am showing asuri bhava like but wait before that if there is any Srila Vishnu Jagadakur writes knowing that his wealth is the cause of his disrespect to guru he criticizes it who deserves it like that
Yeah, purport. Yeah, Shri Jagannamaha Prabhu prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadishakamaye. O my lord, I do not aspire for material opulence or wealth, nor do I want a great number of followers to accept me as their leader, nor do I want a very beautiful wife to please me. Mama janmani janmani shure bhavatat bhaktir ahaitu kitvai. I do not even want liberation. All I want life after life is to be a faithful servant of your lordship. According to the laws of nature, when one is extremely opulent, one becomes degraded, and this is true both individually and collectively. The demigods are situated in the mode of goodness, but sometimes even one who is situated in such an exalted position as King Indra, the king of all the demigods, falls down because of material opulence. We are now actually seeing this in America. Entire American nation has tried to advance in material opulence without striving to produce ideal human beings. Result is that Americans are now regretting this wholesale criminality of American society and are wondering how America has become so lawless and unmanageable. As stated in Bhagavatam 7531, Nate Vidu Swartha Gatim Vishnum. Persons who are unenlightened do not know the aim of life, which is to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, both individually and collectively, they try to enjoy so-called material comforts and they become addicted to wine and women. The men produced in such a society are less than fourth class. They are the unwanted population known as the Varna Sankara. And as stated in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, an increase of Varna Sankara population creates a hellish society. This is the society in which Americans now find themselves. Fortunately, however, the Hare Krishna movement has come to America. And many fortunate young men are giving serious attention to this movement, which is creating ideal men of first class character. Men who completely refrain from meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. If the American people are serious about curbing the degraded criminal life of their nation, they must take to the Krishna consciousness movement and try to create the kind of human society advised in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnam Maya Shishtam Gunakarma Vibhagasha. They must divide their society into first class men, second class men, third class men, and fourth class men. Since they are now creating only men who are less than fourth class, how can they avoid the dangers of a criminal society? Long, long ago, Lord Indra regretted his disrespect to his spiritual master, Brihaspati. Similarly, it is advised that the American people regret their mistaken advancement in civilization. They should take advice from the spiritual master, the representative of Krishna. If they do so, they will be happy and theirs will be an ideal nation to lead the entire world.
Okay. यत्पारमेष्ट्यं दिशणम् अधिष्ठितन्न काञ्चन प्रत्युत्तिष्ठेदिति ब्रूयुर्धर्मं तेन परं विदुः Those who say that the person sitting on the throne of Brahma should not rise for anyone do not know the highest dharma. So that's what he says. So,
So no one is beyond, except the Supreme Lord, is exempted from showing respect. At least there would be someone to whom he has to show his respect. Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur says, but do not the knowers of Niti Shastra say the king on the throne should not rise for anyone? But that's what the Niti Shastra says. He says, oh, they are mistaken. A person sitting on Brahma's throne should also rise. What to speak of an ordinary king? Is there a purport?
Yes, Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur says in this regard that when a president or a king is sitting on his throne, he does not need to show respect to everyone who comes within his assembly, but he must show respect to superiors like his spiritual master, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. There are many examples of how he should act. When Lord Krishna was sitting on his throne and Narada fortunately entered his assembly, even Lord Krishna immediately stood up with his officers and ministers to offer respectful obeisances to Narada. Narada knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna knew that Narada was his devotee. But although Krishna is the Supreme Lord and Narada is the Lord's devotee, the Lord observed the religious etiquette. Since Narada was a Brahmachari, a Brahmana and an exalted devotee, even Krishna, while acting as a king, offered his respectful obeisance to Narada. Such is the conduct visible in the Vedic civilization. A civilization in which the people do not know how the representation of Narada and Krishna should be respected, how society should be formed, and how one should advance Krishna consciousness. A society concerned only with manufacturing new cars and new skyscrapers every year, and then breaking them into pieces and making new ones, may be technologically advanced, but it is not a human civilization. Human civilization is advanced when the people follow Chaturvarna system of four orders of life. There must be ideal first-class men to act as advisors, second-class men to act as administrators, third-class men to produce food and protect cows, fourth-class men who obey the three classes of society. One who does not follow the standard system of society should be considered a fifth-class man. Society without Vedic laws and regulations will not be very helpful to humanity. As said in this verse, dharmam tena param vidu. Such a society does not know the aim of life and the highest principle of religion.
Okay, the line can you read again?
A society without Vedic laws and regulations will not be very helpful to humanity. As said in this verse, dharmam tena param vidu. Such a society does not know the aim of life and the highest principle of religion.
Okay. So basically, Prabhupada is using this respect, the concept of respect, to explain that the reason for respect is the natural division of human society based on their qualifications. So the human society naturally has to be qualified. Because if you say respect, there has to be some template. There has to be some hierarchy based on which, you know, who should show respect to whom. So Prabhupada establishes in a normal human society, there should be a system of Varnashrama. So, you know, where Kshatriya has to respect Brahmana, and Vaishya has to respect Brahmana and Kshatriya, and a Shudra has to serve all the three above classes. So that should be the basis of respect, like that. Okay. So I think we are, our time is up. So we will end our discussion here. So today is Thursday. So next we are going to meet on Monday only.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I think not bad, 45 plus 12. 57 verses we could cover today. I mean, at least you know, we can take some solace, some portion has been covered. So we'll continue this discussion on Monday then.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.